Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I Don't Get It Podcast. Hey guys, welcome to the I Don't Get It Podcast. Today we have Miss Hannah Brown on, and we are so excited to girl chat with her because she's been making the rounds all week promoting her new book, which is Mistakes We've Never Made. And I'm just, I feel like she's probably just tired of being asked the same old questions.
Mm-hmm. We're going to try and be unique with this one for
well,
you.
Well, we're always the most fun.
Yeah. Like if you guys want to, if you want to hear, you know, bachelor related questions and like deep stuff, go over to Almost Famous. We did a whole hour with her and in depth. And now, Hannah, we're here to like basically talk to you about like Botox and like what you've done at the med spa.
I love
being
this.
A girl.
It's reminding me of like, did you watch The Amanda Show and like the girls' room? I'm excited.
I feel like Hannah, you could have been her. Like if you lived in LA, you would have had the same sort of like personality of Amanda Bynes, but like a little bit less boy, a little less tomboy.
No, I think Hannah would have been a Disney child star.
Yeah,
definitely.
Not a Nickelodeon. So yeah,
like I Debbie wanted Ryan. To be so bad. I wanted.
Were you
to
offered be- anything?
No, I was in small town Alabama, and I would tell, I get so mad at my mom and dad because I wanted to do like acting, but there was nothing around. Mm-hmm. And, but now like I can't, I smile at everything. Like I don't know how to show other emotions. I'm working on it.
Mm-hmm. I love that
like
about you.
It's like a, I combust and then it's not good. But I don't know how to like really act. But I think I could have been a good child star.
Yeah,
I do.
You could have been Selena Gomez.
Yeah. Yes.
I really think
or even just like in commercials, you know.
And I could have killed a commercial. Yeah. I really do. I was 100%. In a pageant where we one of the parts was we had to act out a commercial. It's weird, you know, it was a whole weird thing.
No, this sounds fascinating.
But I did a CoverGirl commercial and I won that part.
Of course. Because all she does is win, 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 no matter what, what. We talked about this so much.
Mm-hmm. Wait, what's your zodiac sign again?
I'm a Libra.
Okay. Oh, I love that you win everything. Yeah. I'm an Aries and that's like such a like thing.
Is that an Aries thing?
Aries just always want to win. So I love that you're just such a winner. It's so great.
It's so weird. Like, do y'all do the Enneagram stuff too?
Oh my God. Oh my God. Yeah. I made them take the test. Yeah. I'm a 4 on the Enneagram. Are you a 1 or a 3?
I'm a 3 wing 4.
Oh, okay. You're a 3. So 3 is the achiever. That totally makes sense.
Yeah. But I'm a Libra. And then I don't know if y'all get into all this. I'm like, I think it's interesting. Mm-hmm. But then my like, what is it? Rising is a Scorpio. That's I guess how people like see me sometimes.
Oh, and then I can see that. I see you as more Scorpio.
Ashley's very familiar with Scorpios. She's only ever loved Scorpios.
Only ever loved them.
And then my moon's a Taurus, which my fiance is a Taurus. So it kind of makes sense. I'm like where I can kind of be like closed off a little like to myself, can be kind of stubborn like internally. But yeah, I'm just a mix of things.
You said that you're always smiling, so like you always have a happy face on. Like we all obviously always see that. But do you have times where you absolutely freak out, like where you melt down because you're always smiling, and then you take it out on your fiance? Maybe am I projecting?
No. I was in therapy 3 hours last night, so yeah, we've got some stuff we got to work through. Yeah, I think there was like a part of me. I'm really like trying to learn how to like. I had like a big breakthrough in therapy yesterday, but like I think. I wanted to project something really that everything was okay with my childhood and back at home. So I like took on that mask and just wanted to be the person that performed to like distract from everything else, I think. Mm-hmm. So it started really young. Like just always like smiling at it on sometimes just like being like really uncomfortable, but just trying to like that was the only emotion that was, I guess, like validated and mm-hmm. noticed in any way. So
that's interesting because
that sounds like a child star backstory.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's most people's trauma too, but especially performers. When you, because you know how we were talking about achieving and you're a 3 on the Enneagram, do you feel like now that you're working through like your childhood wounds, as we all are, like as millennials, do you feel like now you're achieving in a way that's healthy and not out of a, you know, something from trauma to get validation?
I'm just now like realizing that, like, I don't think I really knew who I was or what I actually liked. Like if all the stuff in my back story like hadn't happened, like would I even have been involved in the things that I was involved in? Mm-hmm. Would I had like a lot of it was out of like a weird, what I told my brain, like as a little girl, like connected things as being able to, I mean, the word survive is very harsh. I don't mean that, but just like cope, I guess. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, I'm learning a lot about that. And I think now when I do things, I don't do them out of winning for like that need to know that I'm like worthy. It's more trying to like do things that are in alignment with who I am and what I actually enjoy, or what, you know, in what ways do I want to challenge myself and see more of myself. And that feels really good. But like, man, that's a hard thing to like realize. Like mm-hmm. it's kind of sad, but mm-hmm. Also can change that. And that's really cool.
Yeah. Once you have that breakthrough, then you can like move with it, you know.
Yeah.
It's not who you are anymore.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Of all the competition shows that you've done, which one do you find was the most overall challenging between Dancing with the Stars? We'll throw mm-hmm. The Bachelor in there. We're going to throw in pageants because you were Miss Alabama.
Yeah.
And then Special Forces, which Lauren just, she watched the whole second season. And it was like a big bonding thing for her and her fiance. Just loved mm-hmm. it together.
It really brings people together. And
but
then
she just binged your whole season in like 48 hours.
We watched 4 last night and then I watched 4 today.
You've been in Hannah Brown Land.
I honestly blacked out. I don't remember.
As you should have. You should have blacked out. That's the only way to cope through it. You are amazing. And you did mention like the smiling and how that got you through everything. But I mean, it was the coolest show ever. I don't know how you survived. I mean, it looks like you're filming it over months, but it was only like, what, 8 days, 9 days?
Yeah, 10 days.
Yeah, 10 days.
Okay. Yeah.
Thank God.
Okay,
it's
so
only
which,
10
yeah,
days.
Which reality show do you think really pushed you furthest?
Gosh, they were all really difficult on their own way.
I guess not a show, but competition, yeah.
And you won Special Forces.
The best experience so cool. that like was, I think, a really helpful push with Special Forces for mm-hmm. sure. I think, and even Dancing with the Stars could have been, I was just in a bad place, but like definitely pageants and The Bachelorette were just like the toughest emotionally. And
interesting, right?
I would pick those over. Like, I think that's the reason why people from the Bachelor franchise have all won Special mm-hmm. Forces. It's not like, I don't know. The emotional part of that wasn't tough for me as much as just like the environment kind of sucked.
Wow. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Yours was super hot versus like the most recent season was super cold. Which one would you have preferred?
I would have died in cold. Okay. I hate it.
Okay.
I know you hate cold weather.
Yeah.
I don't think I remember when they first asked me at the show, they don't tell you when it's, they didn't tell me exactly what the weather was going to be. And I was like, if it's cold, I'm not doing it. So like, that was like a absolute, I'm not doing it. I hate the cold so much. Wow. I like hot weather. It was, I mean, this was a different type of hot. Like it was
definitely the Sahara Desert, right?
Like,
I have so many questions, but I don't want to make it a Special Forces podcast. But like, the water, like, do you only have the water in the canteen, or like, do you get more water than
Wait,
that?
Can we be annoying? And Lauren, can you just give a 1-sentence summary on the show for people listening that maybe haven't seen Special Forces yet?
Special Forces, when reality stars, athletes, reality stars athletes basically that come together and they do crazy set challenges that like the special forces and like people in the Navy actually do. And the interesting thing is that like you don't have to win the challenges. You kind of just have to try and put your best foot forward mm-hmm. and have a good attitude. And that's kind of how you win. It's not necessarily by like actually completing the challenges.
Yeah.
And that's that. Okay. My water question.
But the water. No, I love this question. I love the water question because, no, we had to keep our canteen filled at all times. Like we would have, we would get in trouble if it wasn't. So there was like these jugs of hot water because it's like 124 degrees. So I drank hot water for 10 days out of these just like jugs.
There's nothing worse than drinking hot water in hot weather.
Oh, it was.
Yeah. I can drink cold beverages in cold weather, but not hot beverages in hot weather.
Yeah.
When people tap out, do they immediately go to like a nice hotel or do they have to sleep like in the barracks for a little bit longer?
No, you're out.
You're out.
And you get to, a much better. Anything feels great, but like a much nicer hotel. So.
Oh my gosh.
Well, Hannah is obviously very skilled in first dates as she was The Bachelorette and Hinge dates as well. Well, I can't say that I had Lumi when I went on my first date, but these two over here, I think, had. And the secret to a first date, if we're all collectively talking here, is Lumi. Because not only does Lumi deodorize your underarms, but it's a whole body deodorant. It's your feet, your privates, your pits, any sort of folds you want to stick it in. It was developed by an OBGYN for this reason, so that you can get all the stink everywhere. Fast forward 6 years from her discovering it, creating it, her whole body deodorant now has earned over 300,000 five-star reviews from people like us.
Wow. That is a lot. And it blocks odor all day and not just all day, but for 72 hours. So you really don't need to worry about smelling for 72 hours, which is absolutely incredible.
That's a nice relief, right?
It's a nice relief, especially when I'm leaning over people sweating after blow drying.
And your arm's just like in their face.
My pit is just in their face all day. God for Lumi. And Lumi's starter pack is perfect for new customers. It comes with a solid stick of deodorant, cream tube of deodorant, and two free products of your choice, like the mini body wash and deodorant wipes, like for on the go. It's amazing. And there's free shipping. So as a special offer for our listeners, new customers get 15% off all Lumi products with our exclusive code, and you can combine 15% off with the already discounted starter pack, and that equals over 40% off your starter pack. So use the code GETIT15 for 15% off your first purchase at LumiDeodorant.com. That's the code GETIT15 at LumiDeodorant.com.
I have a question because I haven't seen Special Forces, but I'm so fascinated by Tiger Woods and his sort of Navy training to become the athlete that he became. So obviously you guys know, like when you go to watch someone playing golf, there's like all these people around, but he's so laser focused. It's insane. And he did Navy training so he could block out everything.
Oh.
Did you feel like you acquired like that type of skill set, like to block out everything in any of the training?
I kind of have. That's like the thing that I'm pretty good at. I can block things out. In like certain, like even when I do workouts, my trainer will be like, it's so funny to watch you. Like I'll close my eyes and he's like, you just like go to a different place to like get something done. You'll be like bitching, complaining, moaning, and you're like, I can't do it. And then I just like go like really like a psycho and close my eyes and just like get through it. So I've always kind of had that thing.
You're what I really want to be.
I know, me too. I was like, I'm so like
that, I can't, I just cannot so be uncomfortable. Funny. Like I can't. And you are so uncomfortable. I'm sure you're always a little bit uncomfortable.
Wait, yeah, Hannah, uncomfortable with life.
Hannah, can I tell you a funny story? Lauren was on Bachelor in Paradise. I don't know if you knew this.
No,
for,
I did not.
Yeah. A couple days.
Well, because she was there for
Lauren's
like 2 days.
Lauren's my sister, by the way, which we didn't clarify.
Yes, I figured. Okay, I
figured so with our faces.
Yeah.
So Lauren, I meet Ashley and Lauren when we're producing Bachelor in Paradise. And you know how like we obviously meet in the hotel first.
Yeah.
And then everyone like goes down the stairs and stuff. And then literally day one, I'm like, they're like, Lauren needs Naz. Like, where's producer Naz or whatever? And I walk in and Lauren's like, I'm leaving. She's like, I'm leaving. It was like the first day and it was my first paradise. And I was like, fuck, like I can't have like a cast
member leave.
There was no
like, I'm gonna get fired.
Yeah. And she begged literally and shot for Lauren, like whatever 48 hours she was there for to leave. She was the worst contestant as far as
and I apologize.
You were
really
you were
do.
The most
bugger. I could have been better today, I promise. I
know, and she had like the special she had this special rule where like she was never even on Bachelor. She just got to come because she was Ashley's yeah. sister. So it was like yeah. a once in a lifetime opportunity. But I remember we shot a scene of Lauren, like we had to make it funny, obviously. So Lauren's lugging her luggage across the beach and like all the sand.
But I kind of get this, Lauren. Day. I feel like I would be the same because like that's not like I'm going there to like try to meet a boy. I want to look cute. I want to feel cute. And it's hot as hell. Like I would probably be complaining the whole time too. And be like, I don't know if I want to do this.
Your show is called Special Forces. Yes. Obviously you'd expect to be miserable. I was not going to be miserable. Yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I would have probably done the same thing, honestly. Yeah. Like, so that's where like I do decide when I want to tap into it and when I'm like going to just bitch, moan, complain.
You have
just
a great attitude. Great attitude. Yeah.
You do. Love it. What is your workout like? Sorry. Like, I have a
more interesting question though.
Okay. I'm first, but like, do you work out like all the time?
No, I don't. I've gone through stints where like I really did, but now I do like 3 times a week, like strength training, CrossFit ish. It's CrossFit, but it's CrossFit light because same thing. Like I don't really push myself in CrossFit because I don't want to be a CrossFit girl. So I'm just like, I'll be like, I'm not doing that. And like everybody else is going like crazy and I don't tap in. Like I don't care to tap in. So I don't. So I'm like kind of half-assing some of it. Okay. And then there'll be times where like, I want to do but I'm like really good at the rope climb. So then I'll like,
Who is good at the rope climb? Yeah. That's amazing that you're great at that. That's the hardest thing ever. Yeah. I remember doing that in elementary school. I couldn't get up like one link.
It's just a technique. I couldn't do it on Special Forces if you watched. I didn't know how. And so that was like when I came back home, I was so pissed. I didn't know.
Oh, she tapped in.
Learned it.
Well, I tapped in, and now I can do the freaking rope climb.
Well, to be fair, there wasn't a helicopter attached to the rope at home. But,
that's hilarious.
Larga. Okay, so in honor of Taylor Swift's album coming out tonight at midnight, we're all very excited. I know, Hannah, you're very excited as well.
Wait, is the album coming out, or I just heard song with Post Malone was coming out?
No, the whole thing.
That's amazing.
We usually have dedicated Taylor Swift podcasts, and we analyze the lyrics and all that good stuff.
Whenever
she has a release. But I was listening to All Too Well, the 10-minute version on the way here, and I want to know, everyone has their person they think about listening to All Too Well. Who is your All Too Well person?
That's such a good question, Lauren.
I don't know if I have a certain. Actually, there's some that I could say there's a certain person. Mm-hmm. All Too Well.
You can totally mix people into those scenarios as well because they're very specific scenarios. Yeah,
right.
I mean, you don't have to say, but like,
I mean, probably my first love, I feel like is who I think of the most in a lot of Taylor Swift songs because like. Because that was the Red album, right? The first one.
Yeah, the Red album. Yeah.
And that was like...
God, Red.
My first love story is actually like tragic, but like so good, like an actual Taylor Swift song. But I remember...
You were like 21, 20?
No. When Red came out, I was still in high school. It was my senior year of high school. And I had... Literally, I remember in ninth grade, this guy that ended up being my boyfriend, he was in my Spanish class. And I told my mom I heard his name be called and I looked at me like locked eyes. And I came home. I was like, Mom, I think I know who I'm going to marry. Like, and anyway, there was like all this drama, but our senior year is when we finally like started like talking. And I think I like snuck out of my house. I think I like snuck because he had a girlfriend that like hated me. It was horrible. Like,
ooh, this is a Taylor Swift song.
It was like restraining order. This girl like hated me so much. Whoa. It was bad. But
she wears long skirts.
Yes. Oh, mean was about that girl. Okay. But anyway, like one of our first like hangouts, I can't remember, like, we were in my car and the Red album came out and we just listened to the whole thing and talked the whole time. And so, like,
So dreamy.
Anything from Red, I think of him.
Yeah, there's no way you can apply that to another scenario. Right. Listen to it with him. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Even though he wasn't into it, like, I don't, but it was just like, for me, I'm like obsessed with Taylor Swift, finally with this guy that I've had like been in love with. And
holy ground.
Yeah.
Yeah. Holy ground. Yeah.
It's fun when like a whole album represents a whole guy. You know?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Like a whole era of a guy.
I feel like there's many albums and I apply just the same people all over again.
Yeah.
Well, that's good too.
I don't have enough. I'm kind of stressed about this album because, again, I feel like, am I just going to apply this to the same, like, the quasi relationship that I had 10 years ago? Because she's obviously writing this about a breakup, like heartbreak, and it's going to be like all of the things that you, like, it's going to be more on like the negative side, which I'm totally down for, but I'm like such in a different place in life that I'm going to be like, okay, wow. So in my head, I'm just going to keep thinking about him when I listen to these songs.
Ashley, I was thinking about this yesterday.
You are also in a happy place.
Yeah. Music hits differently when you're going through heartbreak.
Naz, you'll really enjoy this album.
It's going to be so good for me. I didn't know the whole thing was coming out tonight. I'm like, this is medicine for me.
Well, yeah. I'm like in such a better place, but also like trying to heal from all this, and really just like me and my fiance are doing like, I like call it like supercharged marriage counseling. And like,
that was my next question. If you're in marriage counseling, okay,
cool. And every time I listen to sad songs, of course, I'm thinking about these like times in my life when I felt this way. And I'm like, I don't think this is helpful.
Yeah.
I would get like, I'm in a music video.
And like, so cinematic. Like,
yes. Yeah. And then you start thinking about that ex that was actually a loser. And you're like, what is wrong with me? I'll have to like go look at their Facebook page and be like, oh, yeah.
Exactly.
He's actually like,
it's a cycle. You're driving your car, you start fantasizing about the good times, and then you have to go home, immediately open Instagram and be like, just kidding, never mind.
Yeah.
Oh, Jared, I'm gonna go take like a 45 minute drive to listen to the album and think about another guy.
They don't have to know.
They have to know. They all know. There's so many like Instagram reels and TikToks saying, you don't have out to there tell about them, this.
You know, like they don't have to know which song makes you fantasize. You know,
it's not even like fantasize. It's just like,
it's not
like
even
feels. It's feels.
It's feels. Tap into some old feels. Yeah.
Yeah.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp, which honestly is so fitting because we love talking about therapy here. We're hoping that you're enjoying our conversation with Hannah Brown about how she's in therapy right now. She loves it. But question for all of you guys listening right now, how is your social battery? Are you feeling drained? Mercury's in retrograde. There's a lot of people that are feeling like they need vacation and maybe they don't have enough boundaries and a bunch of people are hitting you up to do a lot of things now that winter's over. It can be really easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially this time of year with social gatherings just like picking up. So therapy is a great way where you can find out what the right amount of socializing is for you and how you need to recharge. Sometimes we just need to be like our own coach or our own mom and just sit our ass home. And maybe we thrive when we have some more alone time. So therapy and BetterHelp can give you that self-awareness to help you build a social life that doesn't drain your battery.
So it's all online and it's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you got to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time, no additional costs.
So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/get it today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/get it.
And I think that you're like the Taylor of the Bachelor franchise. I always feel like this because you have like that relatability factor and like this just like outrageous amount of charm.
Thank you. I'll take that. That's like an honor. It's just a true honor and responsibility that I need to uphold to be in any way compared to Taylor Swift. But I don't know. It's like I appreciate that, but I feel so like not I just had a different experience when it comes to The Bachelor. Like I love how like everybody is so connected. And that was also, like I said, partly my own fault because I was so messed up that I was like, I went into a hole. But I do think I had like very memorable moments. And then, so I think people just like really resonated with those moments of me having really human experiences displayed for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. But when it comes,
that's also another Taylor-like point.
Yeah.
I was going to me, the most human experience is like having this huge monumental season of being a bachelorette and then meeting your person on Hinge.
Yeah.
I think that to me is like so human and so cool and so relatable. Cause I think a lot of people at home, right? Like when they think of celebrity, like we've all been on the inside of the show, but a lot of like, this is like life and celebrity for so we know that Bachelor Nation is so beautiful and amazing and huge, but like for, tell us about your thought process of like wanting to go on Hinge after the show. Cause a lot of people that were leads probably wouldn't. Or maybe would like go on Raya or something else.
I just like, well, it was kind of like just a not really thought through process. Like I had was like, it was truly like my friend booked a trip for me to go to Cabo with her and then set up my dating app profile because she was done with, she was done and I needed to be over everything else kind of going on in my life, like situation-ish ship. I don't even know what it was. And I just had to be like, she was like, let's just do it now. Like, just do it. Like, you don't need approved. You don't need anything. Like, just you're you. Like, you just want to find a nice, good human. And she was on all the different apps. And she was like, I feel like Hinge has the most, like, solid, just, like, actual guys that, like, aren't trying to just, like, for a hookup or anything. And I was like, okay. But yeah, it was interesting. I mean, of course I got like people being like, why are you on that? I'm like, I went on a dating show. Like I'll do whatever at this point, I guess, to date. Like I went on national television today. I can do a dating app, you know?
100%.
And so, yeah, I just didn't think of, I wasn't on it for that long. Maybe if I was on it for a long time, it might've made a difference. But,
how long into swiping did you see your fiance?
Not long. Like, I don't even know if I was on it for a month. Like,
oh, okay.
Yeah, I had a few, you know, times even entering the app. So it wasn't that long of an experience for me, which was cool that's and good. Lucky. I think I went on, he was like my fourth date. So
okay, that's very, very nice.
Yeah. How was like he the banter?
Eddie Cibrian.
What did you say?
He looks like Eddie said his Cibrian.
Who's that?
Leanne Rimes' husband.
Oh,
whoa. Oh, I can see that. Yeah.
I don't think I gotta look him up.
Your man's maybe a little bit cute.
Eddie Cibrian.
I mean, I appreciate that.
They're both
I think
very
they're
good looking.
They're both good looking.
Yes.
Yeah.
What were you saying, Ness?
Oh, sorry. I was just looking up Eddie.
So you guys are doing, I mean, not to get too invasive, but you guys are doing like premarital counseling.
Mm-hmm. And wait, Eddie Cibrian's hot as fuck.
Yeah, he's hot. I know. Yeah. Yeah, but like, I don't know.
Yeah, so is his fiance.
Why is this man married? No, you guys are so hot. Yeah, you guys are like cake topper hot. You know, like, I love watching your videos and the recent one where you're like doing that thing everyone's doing now. So
He's like very like traditionally just handsome like Adam is, but...
Yeah, he's actually very cute. Yeah.
Yeah. What did somebody ask me something?
No, I asked you about premarital counseling. Yeah. And I was thinking, like, a lot of people think, like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Or, like, or you're going to, like, stir up drama or something. Cause I am also in, if you want to call it that, premarital counseling, but it's really just couples therapy before
it's couples
married.
Therapy. Yeah. But we're getting married. So we're, you know, we're doing all that stuff too. But yeah, I am such a proponent of it. Like even last night when I had like such a breakthrough in therapy, we were talking about money. Okay. And money is like a really hard thing. I have lots of triggers around that. And I have like visceral reactions when it comes to money and it was causing a lot of
like in what way, like towards not spending money or towards spending a lot of
just,
money.
That was
scared that you're not going to attract money.
I've talked about this before and I love my parents, but like they had a really hard relationship and a lot of the fighting would be about money. And so that created a lot of stories about like, if only we had more money, I wouldn't have to, you know, be in this situation. But it was like always just like some number, like what is enough money? And so for me sometimes and through things I've gone through where lost a lot, had some like there. I've had experiences where it's just been tough. There's always a Even the type of like home and thing that I can have, like what that actually means. Like it's much deeper even than I realized. So I would get like scared. Like I would go by these beautiful houses and I would get like anxious because that house and it done perfectly represented something so much more to me.
Wow.
Like a peace and, just love, like so many different things. So, you know, we're doing therapy together and the topic of money came up and it was really cool for him to be able to really go on that, like getting down to, it's not just me wanting a lot of money to be rich, to go travel everywhere and to have a nice house. It actually has nothing to do with that. Mm-hmm. It's actually something so much deeper. And for him to be able to like go there with me and grieve for whatever things that happened that made me think that, like, that was really connecting. And we would have never had that experience if we had not 100%. Gone to therapy, because I would try to create fights around, like, I was just, what did my therapist say? She said, I'm not recreating my childhood, but it kind of rhymes, because I was finding ways to do things. And so it's just been really connecting, also just like super healing. And I feel like, you know, a lot of times people go into marriage and haven't had all these big conversations and the first year is really hard. And I don't think it has to be. Mm-hmm. We're doing a lot. Like I do think marriage and committing to somebody is hard work. Like I think there are moments where it's beautiful and easy breezy. And like there are those moments, but like life is hard. And, if you don't know how to, fully tap, feel comfortable to like be not just like honest with your spouse, but to like really go down to like, what is the reason that I'm having this response? Why is this thing that's happening, me losing my job or having kids or the fear of that? Like, why is that all stirring that up? And you can't like actually like really get to that together and have that connecting moment. Like it's going to make it tough when the hard things come up and you don't know how to communicate and work through that or know where that's coming from to be able to support whoever is having a harder time. So it's been awesome, but it's also really hard and exhausting. But it's like, so I think our relationship by the time we get married is going to be, we're going to be two different people than the two people that met on that first date.
Yeah.
And it's really cool because we're like growing together and I'm excited to celebrate and all the marriage that we've prepared for.
That's so beautiful to say. Yeah. I love that you're doing that too. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot more people are having these like big conversations because we look at our parents' generation. And I haven't met one millennial, maybe aside from you guys, Ashley and Lauren,
who are like,
my parents would have been so much happier with someone else, but they're just like codependent and stuck together. And that was like the best that they had. So I think it's beautiful that you're having that conversation. And that is the key to success and longevity in a relationship.
Yeah.
It's like growing and choosing the new person that you're becoming, all because you guys are also going to be different 10 years from now and then 10 years from then. So that's fucking
I don't
amazing.
Want just a stable relationship. I want one that's like
evolve changes with a Taylor Swift album, honestly.
Yeah.
Different eras of your life.
Yeah, but I want us to really be I want not just a stable, I want like a really connected, fulfilling relationship. And I think to constantly have that as you change, because we both are changing and growing, like you have to put in work. And you've got to make those times and moments to be like, I see you and I want to see you. And yeah, it's been really cool.
Do you think you'll continue the therapy once after you're married?
I think so. I think so, but it might not be as like intense as it is right now. We're really, I've talked about it, like after everything that happened with me, like the show, and then also, I mean, obviously I don't want to get fully into it, but I had some past shit that was really hard that I think that intensified experience after that really inflated, like in the background where people didn't really see all that. And it was like manifesting in so many different ways. And so I've had a lot of healing that had to go on. And, commitment was really hard for me, even though like I knew Adam was like so different and like felt so safe and secure in our relationship. That was scary, because I don't think anybody goes into a relationship thinking it's not like, I think it was hard for me to understand like why relationships end up in a way that's not what I want. And, you know, like, so we started this therapy and I've loved it, and it's just helped me and us and him too, individually, so much. Mm-hmm. And yeah. So, I mean, I could see us always like having like we'll go to therapy and then have like a dinner date afterwards. Like I could see that we do that now. Not after last night. Last night was a rough one for me, but like I could see doing that like monthly or something, just for like a good,
it's like a refresher.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And you're always going through different things, right? Mm-hmm. Like buying a house, or should we have kids, or you're at work so much in this project and I'm feeling neglected. It's like, it's never ending. And I think one thing I've always really admired about you, Hannah, even though like I don't really know you, is that you've always committed to doing the work and evolving and being a better person, whether it was through like the reckoning we went through in 2020. And like, we're one of the first people to talk about Robin's book, like White Fragility, and like even everything you've gone through with the bat. Like, I just think it's so beautiful and amazing that you're always trying to become a better human.
Yeah.
And I think that's why everyone loves being around you.
Yeah. I really appreciate that, because that is, I feel like being resilient and choosing the hard path for like a better future is just like, it sucks sometimes, but I never want to be complacent. I never want to be complacent with like any part of my life, my relationships, the way that I treat other people, the way that I just show up. And so that's a choice, and it's sometimes exhausting, but I think in the end it'll always be worth it. And maybe encourage other people that's like, okay, if she's still getting up and doing this shit, then maybe I can too.
Support for today's episode comes from Honey Love, which has literally revolutionized the bra game. You know that feeling when you get home from a long day and you immediately just want to take off your bra? You're like, oh, I'm free. Well, with Honey Love, you can actually experience that again without having to take your bra off, because their bras are so comfortable, you'll forget you're even wearing them.
Yeah, you don't have that sensation of trying to rip off your bra because there's no underwire.
100%. I mean, dare I even say you may even sleep in your bra? I can't even believe I just said that. But it's true, because their best-selling crossover bra is so comfortable. It's going to be your new go-to. It is what I wear on camera all the time. It has like a little touch of sexy. Again, like Lauren said, no underwire. But also as like, I just love the mesh detailing. It makes me feel sexy.
And it doesn't just stop there, because they also have comfortable shapewear, tanks and leggings and underwear. Honestly, with like spring cleaning and stuff, you want to go through all your drawers. I think you should just get like three bras, three underwear, everything from Honey Love, and just open your drawers. Be excited to wear everything in your drawer and make it Honey Love. And you can pair your V-neck bra with their breathable leggings, and you look all matchy-matchy, and you feel super, super cute. So treat yourself to the best bras on the market and save 20% off honeylove.com/get it. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off honeylove.com/get it. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. So please support our show and tell them that we sent you. Honeys, you deserve it. Well, I like that you're not complacent in the fact that you wrote a novel, which is like, did you always want to write a novel?
And that's
has a story been inside of you for a long time?
Not this exact story, I would say. I mean, this process takes over like 2 years, but, everything that I've gone through, like I've said this a few times, but like could have never dreamt up. But one dream that I always had, like I've had since like high school, college, was to write a novel. I've always enjoyed reading and kind of writing for myself. And I was just like, that would be a really cool thing to try to pursue. And I think everything in my life that I've gotten to do so far kind of gave me the confidence and the opportunity to be able to do this. So it's just like a full circle of like gratitude. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so I have a new book out called Mistakes We Never Made, and it's a romance book, so kind of ties in my past too, and everybody who supported my love story can go on this new love story with Emma and Finn.
So I read the first couple of pages, and I will be continuing to read because you already got me hooked. Because there's so much description, I feel like I already know the main character in just a few few episodes, mm-hmm. a few pages.
Oh, I'm so glad.
Like, I'm already invested in her personality. I want you, if you could, to share a story of a mistake that you've never made, but we're very close to making.
Oh my gosh. That's a good, let me think. I mean, I feel like I've made them all. I think that's one thing that I've, this book, I think I have taken a lot of risk in my life up until a few years ago. I think I got a little risk averse just from everything that has happened. But I will say all the things that could have been a mistake or maybe did seem like a mistake, maybe some people would think they were, have actually been like the best propellers in my life to where I am now. Mm-hmm.
It's hard to remember the mistakes you never made.
I know. It's like it's really, when you think about it, you're like the guys that you didn't hook up with that you were like,
oh yeah,
I was so close to doing that and I didn't. Like, do I regret it or do I not?
I wish I had more self-restraint.
Yeah, I probably had a few of those.
Well, it's funny that, Lauren, you say self-restraint, because in my eyes, I think sometimes I feel like I'm so disciplined because I wear my heart on my sleeve, and you guys know I get so heartbroken that I'm like so good at like, nope, that guy's not in my life anymore. And every time I want to text him, I'm like, nope, like we are moving forward. We're creating safe for new people. And there are times in my life where I'm like, God, I wish I was just like reckless and didn't care and like drove to his house and knocked on his door and was like, let's fuck, or like whatever. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's, I guess those are mistakes I wish I did make sometimes.
And that's kind of what the book, type of things, like, are then the moments when you do finally just like, Emma is definitely that type of personality, but then she's had these moments where she's tried to like, and then she's like, oh fuck, why did I do that? Like, yeah, I feel like I'm kind of similar, except for things on TV. But like, I also was just like, could have that self-restraint in a lot of ways. Mm.
Emma based on anyone in your life, or
she's like a part
parts
of, me,
of you?
For sure.
Okay, just a part of you that you wanted to bring it. I love that. Yeah, is Finn like, based on anyone in your life?
Yeah. I say he's like a mixture of people. I would say.
Yeah.
Okay. And then some, yeah, he's definitely like, I swear if it was one person, I would say it.
Yeah,
He's kind of like he's like a lovable too. He's not like this, like, he just is a boy. He's kind of dumb and doesn't know how to communicate things sometimes. Mm-hmm. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So is he at all made up of Adam?
He's not really, I mean, the sweet parts of him, I think Adam is, but no, I wouldn't say he's Adam. Mm-mm.
Okay, so we've talked about
if you had to pick a guy on one of your seasons, that's most like Finn.
Oh,
that's most embodies some of the qualities of Finn. Who would you say? Or maybe you can give us a mix. Like, it's a little bit of
at least we'll get you the out with the mix.
Because he's like a tech bro. I've never dated like a tech dude. So
I love that he's a tech bro.
I could see, like, I don't really know if I
can. You have one in her head.
You have one in your head, Hannah. Yeah. Just say it. Make the mistake you wish you would make.
No, this is not a mistake I want to make.
She has too much restraint.
Her PR is coming on the line. Don't PR do anything.
Yeah, I don't know. I would say I will say there's a book too, and I think there's more like distinct of who these people are.
There's going to be a sequel.
I saw
you had a 2-book deal, but I wasn't sure if they were connected.
Yeah, they are connected, but it's kind of going off a different character that you'll meet in this book and hopefully want to know more about.
Oh,
but yeah, it's like the same universe of friends, like the core four girl. Like best friend group, it kind of goes off them. Like
fun.
They have like their own.
I think very Sex in the City.
It is. Yeah, it is. I mean, doesn't everybody want like that type of friend group? Mm-hmm, like Sister in the Traveling Pants?
Who are you in Sex in the City?
I think I'm a mix of Carrie and Charlotte.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah, I would say that. Yeah, too. Yeah.
Because I'm not a full Charlotte, but no, or Carrie. But like if I think like if they, I would genuinely be like if they could somehow make a baby, I don't know, they maybe could one day, but I would be their child. Yeah,
love that.
I get that. Okay, wait, so we have a few more minutes. Can we talk just like some random questions that we have for you? Like, what is something that you and Adam argue the most about / like his pet peeve, your pet peeve about him?
Oh, okay. I get really mad that he falls asleep in movies. It makes me really mad.
See, Jared doesn't that like bothers me in general. In but I don't do it in the theater. I do it on the couch.
And yeah, that's why it makes me mad because I can't fall asleep in movies. I get really, really invested. Mm-hmm. I think it's that like hyper fixated part of me. If there's a movie on,
just tapped in.
I am tapping in. Anything else could be going on, and I'm like, I know it's, and if he's not paying attention, it makes me really annoyed. And if he falls asleep, I'm like,
I find it. Well,
I'm tapped in, and I don't want to stop it. But now you're not watching.
You're not connected. You're not connected to each other when you fall asleep. Yeah, because then you can't discuss it.
The falling asleep is one thing, but like being on your phone, I think is like almost disrespectful to the movie, especially if you were the one who chose the movie. But that's why I always like if I want to see something, I'll always see it in theaters because I'll never fall asleep in theaters. But like if we started at 8 something, 9 at home, I can't help it.
Well, then you maybe just really didn't like the movie, Ashley.
You're right. Like I've never really fallen asleep during like one of my favorite movies at home.
Exactly. Yeah. It's probably like The Matrix when he was like, on The Matrix.
It was The Matrix.
Are you kidding me? The Matrix? That hurts my heart.
I know.
Jared will never let her live it down that she fell asleep during The Matrix.
But like I could be like I could like hate the movie and I'm still gonna finish it. It's
same.
Like I'm
same.
Like really if I'm in it, I'm in
it. You're a completer. So. I'm the same way. Like I want to check off everything on my to-do list and I want to even if I hated it, I want to like finish it and know why. Totally get that.
Yeah. So that's probably one that we really kind of complain about. Sometimes I don't like when he's trying, like, look, I do a lot to better myself, but when he tries to like be like, hey, you want to get in the cold plunge? I'm like, no. He's like, it's a great day for a cold plunge. I'm like, shut up. I don't want to go in the cold.
Not the cold plunge. Yeah. I draw the line there and I also do all the things like red light therapy, sauna, and all.
Which I will. I'll go on stints and I'll do it. And he's like, but you feel so much better after. I'm like, okay, I know, but I don't want to do it right now. I'm in bed.
Oh, so, yeah. You're not getting uncozy to do that.
Exactly. So we'll get in little him trying to help me or encourage me. I'm like, save it.
Everything but cold punch.
Yeah.
How would he answer that question about you?
Yeah.
He would say, what would he say? I'm perfect. I don't know.
Spoken so like a hard. True 3 on the Enneagram. I fucking love it. Do you curse, Hannah?
You know, I did not curse at all. Genuinely, I had said fuck one time to the boyfriend, the all too well boyfriend, when we finally broke up and we had a tragic beautiful, tragic love affair.
Well, he didn't like red, so fuck him.
Yeah. No, I'm just kidding. But I remember that was like the first time I ever like cussed at somebody and I was like, fuck you. And it felt, he was like, oh my gosh, I didn't cuss. But it was so dramatic, y'all, so dramatic. So anyway, it's actually a big part of my story. Like even like the whole Luke P stuff.
When I was going to say, we've heard you drop it in like epic moments.
Yeah, but.
You save it for when it counts.
But it all kind of came from that because I got like shamed for having sex. Like there was some deep trauma of that. And then that Luke just like started up. So, but the show is what made me start cussing. Straight up, I didn't cuss. They made fun of me. Alon made fun of me because I didn't cuss. And my, like audition or whatever, when we like meet with them in LA, they would like, I would be like, I say like fridge or freak. And like, that was like I didn't cuss. And then I was Bachelorette and I was dropping F-bombs That's all the time.
Hilarious. The fact
that reminds me of the
that'll make you drop F-bombs.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget. Mm-mm-mm. Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
The fact that Alon wasn't on your season is such a tragedy for me, because I just feel like you guys would have had such a connection, and I'm sure you did during Colton's season.
Yes.
And the fact that he dropped right before yours.
I think he really made sure I was the Bachelorette.
Though. Okay.
I really feel that. Okay. I think he... But, you know, I didn't like him at first, and I told him to his face, because he really... In that interview, I was smiling, being, I don't say cusser. Mm-hmm. And he was like, you know what I think you're full of? And I was like, yeah. What are you? Joy.
I said that.
Hannah, that is the most pageant, amazing Alabama answer I've ever heard in my life.
And he said rage.
Oh,
and
rage. He said rage. Not even
and
shit.
And I was like, I remember... I got so mad. Like I was full of rage when he said that, because I'm like, just in my pageant answer. And I was like, well, maybe it's like a baby tank of rage, like right here. And I'm like,
I'm dead. Oh, that's so good. But well, listen, you have such good answers.
But
he's not wrong, right?
I was so mad. I was so mad. I was like, that guy tried to like, I was so mad. And then when they, you know, do the rounds when you're like waiting to go on the show, and I was like, you know, sat back in my chair and I was like, I don't like you. Mm-hmm. And I don't trust you. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, like, I became obsessed with him and him with me. But yeah, it's really funny. Yeah.
I had a similar trajectory with the Long Gale.
Yeah.
I didn't. It was love at first sight. And then it was
and then he officiated
love.
Ashley's wedding.
Ashley was in her manipulation era. Yeah.
I was so like, good. You can manipulate me as much as possible because I love you and I'm totally like brainwashed by you.
You are brainwashed.
And I know that I am, but I love
it.
It's
fun. Do you remember the iCarly, like the classic iCarly? It's like, I do like to cuss a little.
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen that? Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I guess so that good. I still cuss. I still cuss a little. But no, I definitely do. I do a lot. I have to work on it because I'm trying not to as much, but I started saying like the C word a lot. Like I'd be like, that's a lot.
I don't like
I've
that
been using
one.
That.
I've never
I've been using
said that,
that recently.
But yeah. to describe something like
to describe a few
people
that I'm like, they are just
sometimes,
and I'm like, okay, Hannah.
Like once a year you meet somebody and you're like, I can't believe I'm gonna say this, but it was that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. I'm gonna say when I say I'm saying the C word, I've called like three people that.
Yeah.
But someone recently.
I love the realness of this. Okay. Well, before we let you go, our podcast is called I Don't Get It.
Yeah.
We don't know if you have any I Don't Get It's, but if you do, we'd love to hear them. We typically, this is like millennial female Seinfeld, where we just talk about shit we don't get. And I wanted to share with you guys something that happened to me last night, because I was in Miami for work, had a first class ticket back to LA at 9 o'clock, was supposed to land in LA, did land in LA at midnight. And you guys know it's so hard to eat healthy, like in airports and like on airplane. It's just like not a thing. And I was like, oh, I'm flying first class. Like I'll eat on the plane. Like they'll have a meal.
You first class and they didn't feed you?
Just wait. Warm roasted nuts on the way there, all this stuff. Mm-hmm. So I'm sitting, I get to the airport early because I had car service from this job that I finished. So I'm at the airport 2 hours and I'm like, I'm not going to buy anything because I'm going to eat. And I'm starving. I get on the plane and you guys know it's 6 hours from Miami to LA.
Yes.
And they go, because it's 9 o'clock, we're only serving these snacks. And she shows me a basket. This is American Airlines. I am so profusely offended to be American and have you be our airline.
Yeah.
They show me a basket of Ruffles, almonds,
no,
gummy bears, and Kind bars. And I go, this is what you're feeding people in first
Did you
class
say this?
For
I feel like
a
that's
6 hour flight. She's you know right. I said this in front of everyone. Yeah. It was my lowest vibration. As soon as I say this, which you know, like I don't want people that I know to know me seeing like this. A girl that I know gets on the plane. She goes, "Hi, Naz," and I'm like, "Oh my god, I'm so sorry. You're seeing." And I literally, as soon as she walks in, I was like, "I fucking hate American Airlines." But like, are you kidding me? 6 hours and you have almms. That is.
So what'd you eat? You probably ate like an egg or something.
Even how a first class ticket if you're not going to get a full blown meal? And
no, it is so horrible. They were like, oh, because it's nighttime. It's like, I don't care. No. Then serve a sandwich. Like Ruffles? Yeah.
Like United and JetBlue and Delta. I've been on those air, those red eyes or, you know, semi red eyes, whatever. That
semi red eyes.
You know, the one that leave the East Coast later. And they always feed you. That's so cruel that they wouldn't tell you before getting on.
I need to
they,
know
because
how
it I wouldn't have gotten dinner. I would it not should have say gotten on the app. It.
I literally started crying because you guys know. Like, my, you know when you're hangry and I'm trying to eat healthy. I'm getting my period. I'm going to Mexico tomorrow. I want and I'm like eating 3 bags of Ruffles for dinner. And I'm like, this is so annoying.
My
I was
stomach
pissed.
Would be so filled with air because I was so hungry. Yes, I'd be
that's
even more bloated.
Literally what it was. So that's my I don't get it. I don't get why. They don't have meals just because it's after 9 p.m. on a
That's a really
flight.
Good one.
Yeah. That was all, crazy.
That I'm going to cuss so right crazy. Now. That's fucked up.
It was the most fucked up shit. And the girl that, thank God, the girl that I knew that walked on the plane, she had gotten buffalo tenders and sweet. Her name was Miriam. She's so,
she
Miriam
shares?
Issa from Clever, remember?
Yeah.
Remember she Miriam Issa from
you?
Clever?
Yeah.
She came up to, she was like, you can have, so I ate one buffalo chicken tender.
Oh, that was really sweet.
Really
it was
nice.
Very nice. God
on
sent me an angel.
I never want to not have something in my mouth, though. Like, I want snacks. I want a meal. I want drinks. I want it all the time.
You
for
want
6 hours.
Everything. But it's like, oh, isn't that so fucking crazy?
I'm sorry.
See, I guess on that note, like, I don't get how people, I fall asleep immediately on the plane. Mm. So sometimes I don't eat. So I don't get how people, like, can work on the plane. I don't get that. Like, I'm immediately the vibration of whatever's going on, like, is lulling me to sleep immediately. But I also have narcolepsy, so it makes sense. But,
you have true narcolepsy?
Wait, for real?
Yeah.
Wait, oh, what? And did you asthma. Fall asleep on Bachelor?
Yeah, that's like, how I found out that I really had it. Because
I feel like I remember this.
Katie Morton, who was on my season, was narcoleptic. Mm-hmm. And she was like, hey, I think you need to get checked because you're just like...
Because you fall asleep in a second? Is that really?
I go into, when I took my test, I went into REM sleep in like 30 seconds.
Now, do you that find this way. To be
I'm
a
so
pro
jealous
or con
of that.
In your life?
Like, that's a fucking pro in my eyes.
It's
a pro sometimes, for travel. But like also, it doesn't matter. It's like you have a sleepy brain. So they call it like you have a sleepy brain. So it's like, even if I got 12 hours of sleep, I'm still like tired because you're not supposed to go straight into REM sleep. So you're not getting like the other levels of sleep as long as you're supposed to. And then I get like weird sleep paralysis stuff when I'm really stressed.
That's
scary. And that's scary.
Oh my God, we need a whole other podcast on
I know.
That.
Yeah. I know.
That's terrifying.
I'll come back. Okay. I just don't know how people focus and work on a plane. Like I want to, if I'm going to be up, I also want to just watch a movie. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I completely agree. I feel like work is an absolute zero work zone because like just a case in point, I got texted like, if we give you a due date, like if we approve the concept by then, can you turn it around by then? And I was like, well, I'm going to be traveling. So no, I won't be able to finish it by then. And I'm like in my head, I'm like, well, I will have the airport time and I'll have the plane time, but like those cannot be, I can't be on my computer then because yes, the second that you sit down on the plane
not to work.
Like, there's something about it that I can't fully fall asleep when I'm sitting in that position, but I need to try, and I need to try to get comfortable and put my head down on the tray table and all this. There's something in the motion of a car doesn't do that to me. The motion of an airplane does.
Same.
Yep.
So
that's a great. I don't get it, Hannah. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
I love that. I don't get it. Hannah, it was such a pleasure.
Thank you so much
on the I Don't Get It podcast.
This is a fun podcast, y'all.
We told you you'd have fun and it wouldn't feel like work.
It's great.
Tell everyone where to get your amazing book.
Oh, we can have one question before. Did you do the audio? Like, is there going to be an audio? And if you did, are you the voice of it?
So I had to. I'm not. And I had to audition for my own audio, which I did get.
Wait, what?
Yeah, I had to audition for it. I got it. But y'all, like, I don't really want to be changing my voice for different, like, characters.
Oh, okay.
And then, like, there's steamy parts. And I don't really feel like I want people hearing my voice with some smut going on. Like, I've already given a lot of that in other ways. I don't want to read
you
that.
You can listen to you read God Bless This Mess.
Yes. You can. So Mistakes We Never Made is available for pre-order everywhere. You can get signed copies, I believe, at like Barnes & Noble, Parnassus, and The Ripped Bodice. And all this info is on my social media pages. You can go to Instagram. There's a link in bio. But it comes out May 7th. And I'm doing a whole book tour, which is also on my page. I'm going to New York, LA, St. Louis, Nashville.
Cool.
My hometown, Tuscaloosa. I think that's it for right now.
We might try to add you on there. Come to Audrey's. We'll see.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
You know, we are looking at Boston. Maybe
that would be amazing.
Doing another one.
Okay, yes. We'll talk.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hannah, do you prefer soft back or hardback books? That's what I need to know.
Paperback or hardcover?
What did I just say?
Lauren, softback?
Softback? I've never read a book before.
I love going to say hard or soft ice cream.
Yeah, I was like, where are we going with this?
Softback.
I prefer the look of a hard cover because I like pretty things, and I like that, and I like when the hard cover you can take off the book, the sleeve.
Yeah, me too.
But I prefer reading a paperback.
Seems you want to pull it back.
You got to have two copies of this book, guys. You got to have one for your display, one to read.
That's right.
Yes,
that's right.
Exactly.
But now I need to know, do you like hard or soft ice cream?
I don't like soft serve, but
you don't
I
like
want,
soft serve.
I mean, I do. Look, I don't discriminate when it comes to ice cream.
But you prefer the hard.
But I want it to be like, I don't like it too hard though. Like I'm like Goldilocks. Like it needs to be just right. Like I need there to be something to kind of bite into, but I'm not biting.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Do you get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I'm complicated in every answer. I'm sorry. I'm a Libra.
No, that's what makes you a great podcast.
Love that.
Yeah. That's what makes you interesting.
Yeah. Great. Okay. Well, Hannah, thank you so much. Good luck with your book tour. And
thank you so much.
Seriously, thank you for your time.
It was so fun. No, I always get here I go. Why am I still talking?
No, I love it.
Okay. But I always get sometimes self-conscious about, you could ask me about, like, you're trying to just give me a soft question about ice cream. I'm going to go on a rant about ice cream,
but that is, we're going to like talk about
it. But that's how our podcast started. It started about sprinkles.
That's the idea about
sprinkles. And then here we are 6 years later or something. And we're talking to you.
Okay. Yeah. Hannah, our podcast was Ashley and I, we got in an argument over rainbow sprinkles on ice cream.
And if
they have a taste or not. And Ashley thought they have a taste. And I was like, I don't get it.
Nas is lying when she says she doesn't think they have a flavor.
I think it's just like crunchy texture. But now I think they actually do. Now I've changed my mind years
later. And I love rainbow sprinkles. So
yeah, they're the best.
They're the best. Okay.
All right. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
I Don't Get It podcast.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.